You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
How you feeling, Browns Nation? Hope everybody is getting your game face on. Why not? What's wrong with that?
We got a game tonight. What's just not a that? Browns game tonight,
That's right?
Yeah. It's football time now.
Oh, and Rex Ryan.
His booty is hot.
It is. It's scorching. That seat is warm. And is it not?
Them New York media sharks got to be feeding that frenzy he is, isn't he?
Oh, man.
Five in a row.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, you know, when you – I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world if you're a winner, you know, in New York City. I mean, or Boston or Philly or some of the crazed sports talk towns in America. But, man, when you're not – ooh, can it get very precarious on you in a hurry?
I will say that it's New York is probably one of those places that the media influence is so heavy on management that I would not be surprised if there's a mid-season fire there in New York.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in this thing, their situation is in rough shape, as we know. And, you know, Rex Ryan at time, he's want to speak his mind, let us say, right? You know, if he has something asked to him or something that he wants to get out there, he's going to do it.
That's right.
Regardless of the consequences.
Which will works against him at some
times.
Most recently, yes. But, I mean, when he was making those statements and they were going to the AFC Championship game year-end, he was the New York media hero.
It's darling. 09 and 10, yes. Mike Patton was on the staff.
Yeah.
Right? With Mark Sanchez, the rookie QB, and that had tremendous defense. And they went to two straight AFC Championship games.
Yep.
Won four games on the road, Matt.
Yes.
Two each playoff because they were wild. You know, they weren't winning the division. Brady and Belichick were winning the division.
Yes, they were.
And they won two games on the road each year, 9-10, to go, with Rex's head to go to the AFC Championship game back-to-back years.
That was an amazing welcome to New York, and I think now that the dust has settled.
The bloom is off the rose.
The bloom is off the rose. Exactly.
Yeah. So the seat is real hot, and that's Thursday night football tonight with the Jets in Foxborough. And just one more quick note to that. I love – remember 2 weeks ago after the Kansas City game? All of the football – geniuses, you know, came out of the woodwork. It's the demise, the decline of Tom Brady. It's starting to crumble now. Him, Belichick, everything going on around him. So since the last 2 weeks, he's thrown for 6 TDs, no picks, hitting 70% of his throws. It looks just like it had been now. He's thrown for about almost 700 yards in the two games, and they've blown out two opponents.
And one of those was the AFC North division leading Cincinnati Bengals, who were undefeated at
drilled
the time.
Them.
And he dropped a 40 spot on them.
He did. And then came back with 37 more against Buffalo last Sunday. So, I mean,
still
you
got
know,
it.
I mean, so, yeah.
Still got
you
it.
You know, I mean, that's what I love. Let's not be so quick to bury people. It's like why I say, you know, and especially people with track records of success like that, but it's why for me when people, and we've already started to hear it. I mean, here. Think about it. There's people saying right now that Barkevious Mingo right now is a bust. And I just hate that word. To me, I got to get through two seasons, if not a third, because this is about development. It's about coaching. It's about seeing how a young man responds to probably the first failure he's ever had in his life, right?
That's right. And to make another note about Barkevious Mingo, in his defenses, he was learning a brand new position last year from going a 7 or 9 technique with his hand on the ground versus tackles and tight ends.
Great point.
To a stand-up position in a 3-4 defense. And also, Reg, he's on his second defensive coordinator and second defensive scheme in 2 years as well.
Yeah.
So his head is swimming, and his responsibilities from being a hand-on-the-ground guy to now a stand-up guy too, he's learning double the responsibility. So, again, time is on his side.
Yeah.
And that's why I truly feel about speaking about Barkevious Mingo is he is a situational guy right now.
Yep.
Where we pick and choose what role he plays in certain defensive schemes, and we play towards his strengths and hide his weakness until he has no weakness.
Yeah, so, you know, just a word of caution, that's all, from, you know, I mean, same thing could be said about Justin Gilbert right now. Let's see where this goes. Don't put labels on guys so quickly. I mean, I think that's all we're trying to impart to you here, and we're delighted you're with us at Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's head to Wadsworth and say hello to Lynn. What's going on, Lynn? How are you today?
I'm fine, guys. Love your show, man. I love this.
Thank you very much, man.
Appreciate it.
I get nothing done at work. It's ridiculous.
Well, we're sorry, but thank you.
Just don't let your bosses know, Lynn.
I am the boss.
You are the boss. Well, there you go.
Good to be the king then, right?
Then tell everybody else to do it all.
Yeah, I have to tell my secretary, hold the calls for the next 2 hours.
Floor's all yours, Lynn. Go ahead.
Just a couple observations. I'm really glad we got a Buckeye on there because me and everybody in my family is a Buckeye. So we're all
go
good
Bucks,
to go. All graduated from there. It's the most fantastic place in the world. But I'll get off the soapbox. Just two observations. There's a promo on your station that says Johnny Football plays here. I got to tell you, that really bothers me. And I don't know why that is.
Let me ask you this. Every time do you hear that, do you follow it up with, no, he doesn't?
I think it should say Johnny Football doesn't play here.
Johnny Football watches here?
That's just an observation. I think you
learns
guys
here?
I guess it's a great – you guys do a great job covering. But I would really like to – like after the Steelers game, Riz's excitement is off the charts, as we all know. But I would really have liked to have heard Nathan interview the players in the locker room. I really wanted to know what Joe Thomas had to say after he's got his brains beat in every year from the Steelers and finally got a chance to stick it in their ear.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to hear what he had to say. And you guys don't do any locker room
Nathan is with me. And Lynn, we appreciate the call and glad you were able to break away from making all that big money for your corporation to join Matt and I today. But, you know, Nathan is with just some programming stuff here with the Browns. Nathan joins me on the TV side on Browns Overtime, and that airs on Sports Time Ohio. And when we're at home, Gerard Cherry's with us. And then on the radio side, here on the PNC Bank Radio Network, I do believe, and that's on part of the PNC Bank Browns Radio Network, I'm almost positive that you get to hear Mike Pettine and Brian Hoyer, the quarterback, and some of the key players from that day's game. I mean, almost positive about that. And the same with here on ESPN Cleveland. He mentioned Rizzo and Goldhammer do the Browns postgame show here on ESPN Cleveland. So I think there's availability there. But I do understand, you know, Lynn is, he wants to hear the euphoria. And Matt, we showed during Browns Overtime, the Browns come up, get together, you know, with Mike Pettine, just like last week. Had on after the win over Tennessee, had the now famous, you know, Phil Taylor Instagram with Joe Thomas and Brian Hoyer breaking it down and showing us all their prime time moves. And the same thing went on last week. I believe it was Carlos Dansby kind of, you know, calling guys up and breaking it down after the win over Pittsburgh.
That's right. And I think to talk about, you know, just again, the question about Nathan, I think, you know, we might not necessarily air player interviews on this show, but I'll tell you what, as much as Nathan does, and for yourself too, as you just shared your conversation with Mitchell Schwartz, you guys are having in-depth conversations, you know, and your time with these players and your time in the locker room is significant, and so you convey messages coming from the locker room as well. That's why we also love having, you know, Scott Petrak and Mary Kay Cabot from The Plain Dealer be guests, because they are so in tune and spend so much time in and around that locker room and with these coaches,
right,
that they shine light on it. But that is something that will be duly noted.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk to some of the higher-ups here in our business
yep,
about integrating some of those things in the show, because it would be a great addition.
And understood, Lynn, and we appreciate that because, you know, you're right. I mean, this is what we try to do here. Allow you to be able to hear from the players and head coach Mike Pettine and the coordinators, because, you know, obviously, I mean, that's extremely important to you to get the pulse and the vibe of what's going on in the organization. Appreciate it, Lynn. Let's get a timeout, but we've got a lot more to do when we get back. Oh, speaking of hearing from those that are difference and decision makers, we'll give you a listen to Browns defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill as he spoke to the media a little bit earlier today and getting ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We still have our Browns roundtable coming up, presented by our good friends at Blue Point Grill. Doug Deacon will join. Nathan should be back a little bit later on. He'll get into the fantasy football mailbag with you. You can tweet your questions to Nathan or at Browns_radio. And we'll also do Fact or Fiction. All of that coming up. Matt Wilhelm's here. I'm Michael Regei. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford. Don't go away.